From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
You see, it's not enough to think about Jesus on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And Jesus said, hey, if you'll follow me, I'll change the whole way you live. I'll make you not a fisher of fish. I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll help you to discover the higher purpose of life. The greater reason for living is not to catch another fish, but to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reignite Your Purpose.
Well, many people today go through life without a sense of purpose. They go to work, they do the commute, they take their kids to baseball or football or whatever the season is, and they just kind of check off the to-do list day after day after day. And all the while, not finding purpose in their existence and in their life. And when you try to find the meaning of purpose in the secular realm, it can be very discouraging indeed. One author that gave a little bit about purpose a few weeks ago as I was reading said this. She said, the purpose of life is to live out our greater self. To live out our greater self. I got to tell you something, folks. There's not much great about myself. There's a lot great about my Jesus, but not necessarily about greater self. And then Eleanor Roosevelt, she wrote these words. She said, our purpose is to taste life to the utmost. And on it goes. You see, the average definition of purpose is about how we can have more of life for ourselves. It's really a very self-centered philosophy that we read about in the world today. But what I want to speak to you about is a Christ-centered purpose for life. You see, the Bible teaches us that when people were converted, when they were born again, Jesus not only saved them from the fire of hell, but he also gave them a new reason for living. Now, I got to tell you, getting saved so that you don't go to hell, that's one great reason to get saved. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're not going to perish for eternity, that you have a home in heaven. But I want you to learn with me this morning that salvation is more than being saved from hell. It is also being saved for a particular purpose. It's the kind of purpose that when you get a hold of it, you don't count the days to retirement, and you don't count the days to moving where the grass is greener, and you don't count the days till just a little more fishing. But when you get a hold of it, you say, I want to live this purpose out all the days of my life. I want to be plugged in to the purpose that God gave me all the days of my life. Now, many years ago, when I was in my early 30s, I was thinking about purpose. And I wrote out a little purpose statement for my life. And I put it in your notes this morning. And it says, the purpose of my life is to glorify God by living with the mind of Christ, loving and providing for my family, and impacting my generation with the gospel of Christ. Those were some thoughts that after reading and praying, I wrote down, and I've tried to live by that. Now, one of the phrases there is living with the mind of Christ. And that's what we want to learn about today. How that Jesus Christ has a purpose for every one of our lives. And he shares it with the disciples in Matthew 4. But before we jump to Matthew 4, let me give you a backdrop, just a little background as to where we are when Jesus comes to these disciples in Matthew 4. You see, in Matthew chapter 3, we read about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And so it was that he was baptized by John the Baptist. Right after his baptism, we read earlier in this chapter 4, Jesus was taken out into a high place in the Judean wilderness where he was tempted of Satan. And Satan said, if you're the Son of God, then cast these stones and make them into bread. And there it was that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so he was baptized in the Jordan River. The Father from heaven spoke. A dove descended from heaven. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Satan wasn't happy at all. He immediately began tempting the Lord Jesus. But now Jesus Christ, after his baptism and after his temptation, he comes up into the Galilean region where he will begin his earthly ministry. And we know that he began his early childhood life in Nazareth, but now he's going to stay not in Nazareth, but going up into the Sea of Galilee to the city of Capernaum. He begins his ministry of salvation and giving a purposeful life meaning to those who follow him. And this is what we see happening today. He not only is going to save these men from hell, but he is going to give them a purpose on earth. And that's what we want to learn about this morning. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to see how it all happens. How do we get the purpose of Christ for our life? And I want you to notice, first of all, that purpose began with preaching. The purpose that these men would find began with the preaching of the Word of God. Now, notice in verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. And the word preach is the Greek word keruso. It means to herald. It means to proclaim. It means to publish. And there were times, no doubt, when Jesus taught. There were times when he discussed. But here we see the beginning of his ministry was with the declaration of truth, the authoritative preaching of the word concerning the kingdom. You know, God has often revealed his purposes to me through the preaching of his word. God has revealed to me his purpose about marriage and about ministry and about parenting and about life in so many different ways as I have listened to the preached word of God. I'm not talking about just rhetoric or talk, but I'm talking about the expounding, the expositional preaching of the word of God will help anyone find their purpose if they will listen to it and apply it with all of their heart. Now, as Jesus preached, there were two portions of his message. First, the Bible says he preached repentance. And in verse 17, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repentance is the word which means to change your mind or change your direction. And he went about calling men and women to turn from their ways religiously and materially and to turn to him as the Messiah and as the King. John the Baptist had preached a message of repentance as well. And his message was to prepare the way of the Lord. But now Jesus could say literally, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why would Jesus say that? Because he was there and the King was there. And by the way, when Jesus is present, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so it was that Jesus Christ preached repentance in verse number 17. Now please remember this. A man or a woman or a boy or a girl, when they are saved, will always have a turning of their heart. You see, the fact is that faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. And whenever someone turns to Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're turning from something else. They're recognizing their sin. They're confessing their sin. They're turning to the Lord. And so he preached this message of repentance. And please recognize with me this morning that before God will ever call you into service, he's going to call you to salvation. Before you ever find your purpose, you've got to find your master. And you must understand that salvation always precedes purpose. That's why so many people without Jesus can't understand the meaning of life or the purpose of life, because they've never come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Acts 20 and 21, Paul had the same message, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the Holy Land, we had a wonderful guide. Happened to be a Christian man, which was rare. He was Palestinian. He spoke Hebrew. He spoke Arabic. And of course, he spoke English. And along the way, he would tell us that certain sites were either A sites, B sites, or C sites. Now, an A site, that would be a place where definitively, scripturally, and archaeologically, they knew that Jesus stood there, or they knew that perhaps Joshua stood there. And then a B site would be a site where they would say, within pretty good proximity to this place. For example, when we stood at what is called the Mount of Beatitudes, you could not say specifically Jesus taught the Beatitudes from this point, but you knew that generally speaking, you're in a B area. Sometimes they would say this is a C area. We're not 100% sure, but we know it's generally speaking in this area. But one day we were talking in one of the A areas, and we were talking there in the Garden of Gethsemane, right at the foot of the Mount of Olives, and talking about the Lord, and we had a good solid hour to pray that morning, and our group was the first group in. It was a wonderful time, and the guide said this. He said, you know, I've been telling you about A areas and B areas and C areas, but really you don't need an A, a B, or a C. If Jesus is in your heart, you've got a double A right in your heart, he said. You see, it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus is your Savior. And the only way to know that is by believing by faith and turning to Him and trusting Him as your Savior. And so Jesus preached a message of repentance. And then also it says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was a message of the kingdom. Now in the New Testament, the word kingdom is used 33 times. And the kingdom of heaven is the literal earthly kingdom that was promised to David and also promised to Israel. But then it also speaks of that kingdom which Jesus Christ himself will bring to pass. Now we know the Bible says that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. And so the kingdom was suspended in the sense of a literal kingdom with its throne and with the temple in Jerusalem. And that time has been suspended. We're living in a period now called the Age of Grace. But I do want to just mention to you this morning that although Jesus was present in the first century, hence the kingdom was at hand, even though the kingdom has been suspended, don't ever think for a moment that his kingdom will not come. He has promised the kingdom to David and to Israel, and he's promised it to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Zechariah 14 and verse 1 we read, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. The Bible prophesies that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus not only will defeat all of the enemies that gather against him, but also the Bible tells us that Jesus will stand here at the top of the Mount of Olives, and that he will create a great chasm, and there will be a great split from the east to the west, and Jesus Christ himself will come through that eastern gate. Now, the eastern gate that we take pictures of today is from the Turkish period. I believe the eastern gate from the time of Christ probably would be a little bit below this in the sediment and in some of the graves that are there. Nevertheless, we believe that Jesus Christ will literally come to this earth. He will literally establish his kingdom, and he will rule and reign over the house of David just as he said. So he preached repentance and he preached the kingdom. And my friend, that kingdom will still come. Isaiah 9 and 7 says, of the increase of his government and of his peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. And my, there's a lack of peace in the Middle East today. But the fact of the matter is, there will never be ultimate peace in Jerusalem until Jesus Christ himself brings peace in Jerusalem. And that's what the prophet Zechariah mentions in Zechariah chapter 14. And so Jesus gave a purpose to the people in the Galilean region, but that purpose began with preaching. And I want to tell you something. Even as we prayed this morning with some of the pastoral staff, and one of the men was praying and he said, Lord, our hearts are ready for the preaching this morning. Every time we come to Lancaster Baptist Church, we ought to say, this could be the day that God refines his purpose for my life and he gives direction to my life, and I need the preaching of the Word of God today. And so Jesus began with preaching. But then notice secondly, the purpose that these men would find was built upon a pattern. Now it began with preaching, but it was built upon a pattern. Now notice if you would please in verse 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want you to notice the word in verse 19, the words, follow me. Would you say those, please, with me? Follow me. Jesus is the pattern. When we say that we're to build our lives upon a pattern, we're not talking about my pattern or your pattern. You know, there's a lot of people today that are Burger King Christians. They want to have it all, and they want to have it how? Their way. Well, this morning, if we're going to find God's purpose for our life, we're not here to find it our way. But Jesus says, follow me. He said, I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn of my ways. Now, from what we can tell, Jesus had already met Andrew and Peter right after he was baptized in the Jordan. They had put their faith in Jesus Christ, but they had not come to the place of purpose. They had not discovered his purpose for their life. And so now Jesus comes to them again, and he is calling them out for the purpose that he had in mind for them. He's now walking along the Sea of Galilee. He sees them there. What a beautiful place it is still, even to this day, the main source of water for Israel and the northern border, not far from Syria and Lebanon. And Jesus Christ walked around this body of water. And it was there that he met these fishermen. Recently, there was a boat that was unearthed and placed into a museum there in Tiberias. And this was somehow preserved through a process with various chemicals. And it gives us the size of the boats they may have had, this dating back to the very first century, and probably about 25 feet in length, maybe 6 or 7 feet in width. And here's Peter, James, and John, and these disciples there in Galilee, and they're doing what they had been doing for many years. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. They had recently found the Messiah. They had trusted Christ. And by the way, thank God for what the scripture tells us there, that that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, found his brother. You know how people are going to have a restart in their life spiritually as we find them and bring them to Jesus Christ? And so they had known Christ and they had come to faith. But now the purpose of this particular passage is that Jesus is coming to affirm in their hearts that he didn't want them to just listen to him during their off time, but he wanted them to live for him all the time. Let me say that again. He did not want them just to worship him during their off time, but he wanted them to find purpose all the time. You see, it's not enough to think about Jesus on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And it's not enough to talk about Jesus on Sunday morning just at 11 o'clock. And Jesus said, hey, if you'll follow me, I'll change the whole way you live. I'll make you not a fisher of fish. I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll help you to discover the higher purpose of life. The greater reason for living is not to catch another fish, but to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the pattern. The pattern was Jesus. Now let's learn about this. First of all, letter A, the pattern was not of their own making. This pattern wasn't something they were going to draw up and design. Peter Forsyth said, the first duty of every soul is not to find its freedom, but to find its master. We must find the pattern, and we must learn from the master. It doesn't matter what we're doing in life. There's going to be someone that can teach us along the way. And when it comes to the existence of life and the purpose of life in general, this will be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, what I want you to realize is that the pattern of thinking and living that we want to follow if we're going to be fulfilling God's purpose is the pattern of Jesus Christ himself. And notice what it says in verse 18. It says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, as they begin to follow Christ, the first thing that takes place, as they are now learning that this pattern was not their own, they were going to have to forsake their own plans. They were going to have to forsake their own nets. And the Bible tells us in verse 20, straightway they left their nets. You see, they said, Lord, I'm willing to forsake my plan for your plan. You see, I showed you in the bulletin some of our outreach times this week. But I know this, that if we're going to get involved telling others about Jesus, we're going to have to forsake some of our own nets, because we've got bowling and we've got class and we got the second job and we got this and we got that. And somewhere along the way, if we're going to say, Lord, I want your purpose, we got to lay some of our purpose down. And these men laid down their nets, just like the woman at the well laid down her pots. And I'm saying that anybody that's ever discovered their purpose for God lays some things down in order to go on with God. So they had to forsake their plans, just like the Bible says in James 4:15, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." We don't make our own plans. We say, if the Lord will it, we'll follow. We'll do this and we'll follow His will. So they had to forsake their plans. They had to forsake their possessions. The Bible tells us there in verse number 20 that they straightway left their nets. Verse 22, they immediately left their ship. I don't know if that little ship I showed you a moment ago was the ship of Peter and Andrew, but they left one similar to it. They left their livelihood to follow after Jesus Christ. They did not delay, but straightway they followed Him. David Livingstone, the great missionary from Scotland to Africa, he was writing about possessions and what it meant to follow Jesus, and this is what he said: "I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept, only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity." Many of you have heard the story that Livingstone had several pack horses, and many of his possessions were on the backs of those pack horses as he went all through Africa preaching the gospel. Along the way, the horses became ill. They couldn't carry the load. And one by one, his possessions, one by one, his dishes, one by one, his books, everything he had was lost, until all that was left was the Word of God itself. And yet he kept going so that others might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we approach this week, I want you to realize if we're going to follow Jesus, there's some things that we'll have to lay aside in order to follow after Him. The pattern will not be our making. It's not Burger King Christianity we're preaching about. Notice, secondly, the pattern was of Jesus' making. In verse number 19, it says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, that's pretty simple. So the pattern was after the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The word "follow" is an interesting word. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." The word "doer" is similarly translated an imitator. In other words, God says, "I want you to imitate my word." And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So if we're going to fulfill our purpose in life, we've got to follow the living Word, Jesus, and we've got to live out the Word of God, and we've got to daily follow Jesus Christ's pattern if we're going to fulfill the purpose that He has for us. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so we must follow the pattern. We must identify. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll show you how to fulfill your purpose. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you something bigger to live for." I read this past week about a man who is a young man, 12-year-old boy actually, named David. And he did something that's hard for me to fathom. He actually set a record. But he wore the same shirt for 1,581 days. I think that's over 4 years. 1,581 days. He wore the same shirt. It was a Green Bay Packers Brett Favre shirt. Now, how many of you would say, after 4 years of wearing the same shirt, we get the point, the guy is glad to identify with Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers? How many of you understand what I'm saying? How many of you ladies go, "It just proves the point, football fans are weird"? All right, you understand. Nobody had to mistake what was really big in his life. But I'm telling you that when we understand our purpose in life, nobody will ever question what's important to us. They will know that it is Jesus Christ Himself.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329 or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years. and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.